The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
Episode number
155.
Yes, and Captain's Log, day number 458 of this quarantining.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, but we're going to get through this, as we always say. And, yeah. You know, thank you to everybody for flattening curves and doing whatever you can.
Yeah, exactly. And taking the time to think of your neighbors as much as your own family.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that you are healthy. And again, whymeproject@outlook.com. Reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. Excited about today because we are talking about all sorts of things with this young man.
Yeah, I don't know why it took so long. So hopefully after this, our soon-to-be best friend in Curtis Hartshorn. How are you?
Come on. I'm so good. How are you doing?
We're doing good, thank you.
We like to ask the skill testing question because we never know where it's going to go. Curtis, who are you and where did you come from?
So I am Curtis Hartshorn, and I was born in Ajax, Ontario, and I've basically just kind of stayed in this area my whole life. I moved to Whitby and then Oshawa and then back to Whitby again. And that's where I'm at now. I live in like this big high-rise community in Whitby right now.
What was it like growing up in the GTA?
It was good. I think like family was good. I grew up skateboarding a lot, so I had a lot of good like skate buddies and stuff. I haven't really lived anywhere else. I don't really know how to compare it to anything else.
So skater Curtis then. ton of friends, smart in school, you were just a great kid, there was no issues, and that was your life?
No. Well, as soon as you said smart in school, no, that does not describe me. Basically when I was in elementary school, I did have friends and stuff, but I was going to my mom worked at a Christian school, and it was a really good school. And then we were going to church as well. So I felt like most of my life, like it was like 7 days a week. 6 days a week I would be spending in like a Christian environment, which is fine, but I just kind of started feeling a bit of an ugly duckling. For some reason, I just went through this stretch where there's a couple of years where I just felt like I couldn't fit in, and I'm sure some of the problems are my own problems and stuff like that, but I just felt like I couldn't connect with the kids, and I felt like I was getting bullied a little bit. For whatever reason, I just seemed to click with my skate buddies at the skate park and at like, you know, places that, like outside the church. And it just started creating this kind of anger at God where I was like, if this is what Christianity is like and I'm just going to be picked on by all these kids in the Christian circle, I basically saw that as like, this is actually how God treats me. But yeah, grade 7 or 8, I had this moment where this kid, we got in a bit of a fight in the lunchroom, and I just felt so embarrassed and so angry. And I remember just like walking out of the school and I was like, I'm not going to follow you anymore, Jesus. I've just had enough of this. And that was like a real turning point for me where things started to go south.
You say bullying. How? I mean, was it like, were you getting pushed into lockers or they were saying stuff about you? Were you the only skater kid in school?
Well, I wasn't. I don't know if I was the only skater kid, maybe a bit. But I think there was a little bit of like pushing around and stuff like that. But I just felt like I just couldn't fit in. And there was like times where like, yeah, there was some like physical stuff, like where people would be like pushing me around a bit or whatever. But I felt like I was always kind of just such like, I don't know what the right word is for it, but I was always a really like tender kid. Like I was pretty compassionate, and I felt like I just wasn't a tough guy. Like, and I just didn't have it in me. Like if people would start like insulting each other and stuff, I always felt like I would like cringe in those moments because I didn't like being mean to people. So I felt like I always just ended up being the brunt of the joke because people knew I wouldn't kick back or whatever. So it seemed like the jokes would always kind of land my way, and I ended up just being the brunt of a lot of jokes and stuff. So when I went into high school in like grade 9, I was like, I want to do everything I can to distance myself from faith and from the church and from this upbringing I had. So like I went to the point where like, first of all, I like lied. Like I flat out lied about my upbringing. I looked for all like the toughest kids that I could surround myself with, and I just like changed. Like I started looking for the drugs. I just started smoking weed in grade 9, and then just like from there, just like looking for like other drugs and just like parties I could go to or whatever. And then I started getting like really mean. Like, I was kind of determined, like, I was like, I'm not going to be the brunt of the joke anymore. I'm just going to start picking on people and just kind of being, like, ruthless to people and getting in fights and things like that. Even though I didn't want to, I just knew I didn't want to be the brunt of the joke anymore. So, yeah, but it was like I just completely changed when I, in grade 9.
And you're still going to the Christian school?
No, I wasn't. I actually, we moved just over, we were in Ajax, and then we moved to Whitby. So that meant I was going to go to a whole new school. So when I went into high school, I had no friends. So, which was kind of, for me, like a clean slate, actually. I was mm-hmm. kind of excited about it. Because I was like, finally, I'm not going to be like the same old Curtis that people can just pick on. So when I went to high school, I just like completely changed. And I was like, no, I'm not going to be known as like that kid anymore. And that like happened like for years and years. It just kind of kept escalating after high school. So I just kind of kept doing drugs and partying and not going to church and really rebelling against my parents. And my brother and my sister also, we all kind of fell into the same stuff. And
wait, so you have siblings and they're dealing with what you're going, they're also rebelling?
Yes.
What is your parents' reaction to this? Because if you grew up in the church and you have this faith, and now their three kids are going the complete opposite direction that they're going to, the dynamic is incredible.
I mean, my parents were like distraught. They were just like so, like just had no clue what was going on. They had no clue why we were doing what we were doing. And it seemed, and I'll get into the details later in the story, but like I'll preface it by saying like we grew up kind of in an environment where we didn't really understand things like spiritual warfare, but like it's like things started getting pretty dark, like, and like with my brother, like my brother would be drinking, like at one point he became like an alcoholic, but he started drinking every day, like while he would go to work and everything, and like after high school he just started drinking like nonstop, just like all the drugs, like we were doing drugs nonstop and getting in fights and everything. And but it just seemed like our home was a pretty hostile place for a bit. My parents just didn't know how to deal with it, but they my mom, like at that time, and my dad, like they both really crying out to God. And I think my mom, she said the prayer that she started praying, God, would you just bring them to the end of themselves, bring them to a place where like they have nowhere else to go but Jesus. So she started praying that. That is exactly what happened. Like for me and for my brother and sister, we all came to this point where we were like just the end of ourselves, and we were like, okay, we have nowhere else to go but Jesus.
If you're three, are you the oldest of the three?
No, I'm actually the middle.
So you look to see how he's kind of acting and how he's reacting, drugs and alcohol, and you're then going down the same, but your sister then kind of looks at you guys. Do you feed off of one another then? Did you notice that you kind of used each other as a crutch?
Oh, good question. It was kind of interesting because my brother actually was more solid when he went into high school. Like he wasn't the first one to get into this stuff. I was the first one. So I started bringing drugs into the house and started kind of pressuring my brother and sister to like smoke weed and other things. And then they did kind of go the same way. And I think they were both frustrated with the church as well. And we all ended up going to the same parties, and me and my brother were involved in the same crew, and he was selling drugs, and there actually started to be like it, our, my relationship with my brother and sister started to become very broken as well. When I was 18, 19, like after I'd left high school, and part of my story too was I was actually into death metal music, but I was a vocalist for a death metal band. So I was like screaming, and I was playing shows and we were recording and stuff, but in the death metal circle I was in, I started getting very fascinated with like witchcraft and like anything dark, anything creepy, like horror movies or anything like that. I would just watch like horror movies. I was just reading weird books. I was just like into that big time. Through that and the drugs and the rest of it, I started having these like really terrible experiences. And there's just so many stories. Some of them I'm willing to share. Some of them are just like way too weird. But I just started having like weird encounters in the middle of the night where I'd wake up and I would see people in my room, and I was just, I thought I was going crazy. And my friends actually thought I was going crazy too. So at this point in time, I didn't know like spiritual stuff. So I thought I have schizophrenia. I did too many drugs. I broke my brain, and now this is going to be what life is like for me. I just started acting out, and I would like a switch would flip, and all of a sudden I would just go berserk and get so violent. and just lose all control. And because of that, I started breaking relationship with my brother and my sister and my friends, because they were just basically like, we can't trust you anymore. Like, you're just off the handle. You're nuts. So that continued for a while. And that happened until I was like, I got to a place where I was like so desperate. And I was in and out of the hospital and stuff too, because I would just drink like insane amounts of alcohol. And just, I just kind of lost all control, and I would end up in the hospital. And yeah, I basically came to this point where I was like, if there isn't like a miracle that happens, like I'm probably going
to
die.
When it got to that peak, what was it that changed your life and the trajectory that you were on?
It came like very suddenly, but I somehow got an invite. I think maybe a pastor invited me, I don't know, to a young adult night that was going on in my city. And it was like a young adult worship gathering. I'd never been to this young adult night, but I just got this invitation, and I was like, I just had this like feeling inside my stomach where I was like, if you don't go to this, like you're probably going to die. And I just, there was like this desperation where I was like, if I don't get myself to this night, I don't know what's going to happen in my life. So I told my mom, and my mom was thrilled. It was like the first time I'd asked her to take me to church, you know, yeah. And she's just like, yes, anything, we'll go. And so like, so we go to like get in the car, and my brother, I can't remember all the details, but I remember my brother was like, my mom asked him, like, do you want to go too? Curtis wants to go to this young adult night. And he's like, sure, yeah, we can go. And then he gets in the car. While we're driving to this place, he just starts losing his mind and just punching things and freaking out and screaming. And then we pull over the car, and he gets out of the car. It's kind of funny now, but it's like, it was kind of just weird. It was just typical behavior. But like, he gets out of the car and just starts running like away and just runs through the city. And my mom is freaking out, and I'm in the back just like, just get me to this church. I'm like, for goodness sakes, I was losing my mind. I was like, let's just get to this church. But it just seemed like it was like this war just to get there.
Yeah.
And then I finally get to the church, and I just kind of slink into the back row and hope nobody sees me. And I'm like sitting behind my mom, and it was so weird. But the whole service, the pastor was trying to talk, and I kept fainting in the back row, and I was sitting in the back row, and I was passing out, and I was trying to grab the seat in front of me, and I wasn't on drugs or anything. I was just fainting and losing consciousness and trying to hold myself up. At the end of the service, a pastor got up on the stage, and he said, I feel like the Lord is telling me there's someone here, and you feel trapped, and you need freedom right now. And it was totally for me. And like, that was like the only part of the service that I heard.
Yeah.
But I was sitting in the back, and I basically just, I was like grabbing the chair in front of me, because I couldn't, my body was just doing all sorts of weird things. I couldn't control myself. And I was like, God, like, I basically just started crying inside, and I prayed a prayer inside, not even out loud, but I said, God, like, I was like, I want to follow you, and I want to give you my entire life, but I can't. And I was like, I just can't right now. And I was like, but if you would help me, then I'll give you everything, and I'll give you the rest of my life. In that moment, like, I felt, and I'm so looking forward to heaven, because I'm like, I hope I get to see the replay on this and see what actually happened. But I felt like, honestly, I just felt hands come and just grab my back and just pick me up out of my chair. And I just started walking to the front. And I didn't even know what was happening, but I just felt like it might have been an angel or something. I'm looking forward to the replay. But I went up to the front, and I just started bawling my eyes out, and I was just making a scene in this church. And I frankly didn't care. Like, I was just so desperate. And like, but then the pastor, and they ended up taking me aside, and they ended up explaining to me, Curtis, you know, like, have you ever heard of spiritual warfare? I was like, I'd heard of it. And at that point, I was like, yeah, this is what this is. Like, it finally clicked. I was like, that's what's going on here. And they started taking me through deliverance, and they ended up taking me through their deliverance ministry that week. And it was so real. Like, it was so incredibly vivid and strange. But after that experience, everything changed in my life. Like, and I just, yeah. And from that moment on, like, I stopped everything. I stopped all the drugs. My whole heart changed, and I started living like fully for Jesus. I never went back to that old stuff. And it ended up, what happened was months later, God ended up using that. My brother called me on the phone one night just crying, and he was like, I just want what you have. Like, I want to experience what you've just experienced. And he ended up going to the church, and he ended up giving his whole life to Jesus. And then shortly after that, my girlfriend, who I was dating, who wasn't a believer, she ended up giving her life to Christ as well. And then my sister, after that, like a while later, ended up giving her life to the Lord as well. And then some of my friends also ended up giving their lives to Jesus as well. But it just started this like domino effect where so many people ended up coming to Jesus. It was amazing.
When you made this decision, was there any relapse, if you will, or it was you pretty much done cold turkey and you never looked back?
It was like pretty much done cold turkey. Like it was so such an intense experience for me. I never, ever want to touch this again. Like, I had zero desire. I think there was one time where I went and I bought, like, a six-pack, and I started just drinking, like, and I was on, like, the fifth beer or something, but then I just felt conviction. I started crying, and I was just like, and that was the last time I ever, like, drank to get drunk, you know? And so, like, but it was, like, a very sudden, immediate change. Like, it was like, yeah, I just... It was just so intense.
And now you're a family guy. You've got a daughter. Looking back, now that you are a parent, what lessons can you take from how your parents handled your difficult years?
Yeah, I think for me, I understand, like, it is hard when you're a parent. You just, like, obviously you care about your kid and you just want to do anything to see them thrive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, I somewhere along the line got really confused with my parents, and I got confused about the gospel, and I'm not saying I'm necessarily going to do a perfect job at this, but it was something that I did realize that for my own parenting, I want to try to apply. It felt to me like when I was doing bad, my parents were mad at me, and when I was performing good, then I was accepted. And like, so if I was going to church and I was doing the good things, then it was like, oh, I'm accepted, I'm liked, whatever, I'm in good standing. And then when I was out doing the drugs, like, or whatever, or partying, it was like all of a sudden I could barely have a conversation, and I was like, I felt like I almost got shunned a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of get, like, because they're probably just struggling because they're like, what is he doing, you know? They don't want to see me do that. But somewhere along the line I got that mixed up where I felt that for, like, with God, that I got this idea that if I'm not performing for him, or if I'm not, like, doing good enough, then God will just be disappointed, and he'll just kind of hang, like, he'll just hang my issues over my head until I smarten up and get my act together. And it started, and that kind of ate away at me for a while, and I started just feeling like I could never impress God, and I just started feeling like, you know, so what's the point? So I'm just going to not even try, and I'm just going to rebel altogether. I guess, like, just from a parenting perspective, I've just been thinking, like, you know, it's really, you really reveal the gospel, like, to people in a strong way, like, when they're not doing great. Like, I think that's, like, the strongest opportunity to reveal love. So I think, like, with my own kids, it's like, I really want to model to them the best way I can that it's just like, I just love you, and I'm pursuing you, and I'm going after you no matter what. And, like, no matter what you do, like, I'm going to just, like, love you and show that I care about you and be your friend, which is hard. But anyway, it was just, like, I get it. It's not like I'm saying it, but I'm like, I get that there's circumstances where that would be hard, but that God is, like, he is grace, and it's only by grace that we enter into that relationship. And I guess that there was times where I just wish my parents would have shown me that they, like, actually really loved me. Even when I was at my worst, because I know they did, but it felt at times that they didn't. Whether that was probably a lie, but, you know.
Yeah, becoming a parent really gives you a whole different perspective, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure, for sure. It's not easy.
There's those hills and valleys in life, those peak moments, those pivotal moments where we're asking God, why me? Why are you using me for this? Why am I having to go through this? And you talk about your roller coaster ride of a life, but can you pinpoint a moment where you would be asking God that question?
I think if there was, like, a why me moment. It wasn't actually a negative one. It was more of a positive why me. Like, I remember when I was sitting, like, in the room, I was sitting in the church. This is while I was going through their deliverance ministry. And I just remember, like, sitting there, and it's just, like, I just realized, like, just how messed up I was. And it was just, like, it was, like, there was, I could just finally see, like, there was just so much sin and just so much messed up stuff in my life. But in that moment, then I had this encounter with Jesus where, like, he just, like, started dumping, like, pouring his love into my heart and just showing me just how much he actually loved me. And I remember just sitting there, and I was, like, mind blown. Like, I was like, God, like, I have been so terrible. And I've treated my family terribly. I've treated the church terribly. Like, I've treated, I've just treated you so terribly. And, like, why do you love me so much? Like, how could you possibly love me just this much? And it made it so real. But it was like in that moment, like I finally kind of understood the gospel, where like that whole being taken from death to life and from darkness to light. I could feel that transition actually take place. But I was like, I was just amazed. I was just stunned that like, I was just such a messed up person, and that God like just had this crazy love for me. But even like the following like weeks, I remember going to a bar. It was a friend's birthday or something, and they're all going to a bar. And I went to this bar and I started sharing the gospel with all my friends at the bar. And I just told them all the testimony of what happened to me. And one of these guys was like, I don't know if he was saying it to be mean or something, but I don't know what the motive was, but he just basically said like, Curtis, you know, you're the last person out of all of us that I would ever expect to like give your life to Jesus. And like, so that's how it felt. It felt like, I was like, God, like, I'm like the last candidate. Like, I was just so wrong, and you just love me so much. So that changed everything for me. And I was like, for months, I just cried nonstop. Like, I don't think I cried for like 8 years. And then when that happened, I just couldn't stop crying. And I remember I'd just be out in public places and I would just start like thinking about how much God loved me, and I would just start crying and just like worshiping and singing songs and like lifting my hands and dancing around, and like didn't even care. Like I just didn't even care what anyone thought, because I was just so aware of like how accepted I was. So that would definitely be my why me moment.
Do you have any advice for someone who's going through a season where they just need some deliverance?
I would just say like nothing is impossible with God. The best advice I would give is just come to Jesus. Like his name is, you know, he is a deliverer and he's the savior. And it says in Hebrews that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you read these stories in the Bible of like people in desperate situations who came, and like the woman who like was crawling up to Jesus and grabbed the hem of his cloak, and was healed. Like, I believe that Jesus hasn't changed, and he's alive and well, and he's everywhere. So I would just say, like, if someone is desperate and you're desperate for freedom, you know, the Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But if you would just, like, reach out your hand, I believe he'll meet you there, and I believe he'll come for you. And I believe that his heart is filled with compassion for people who are struggling and broken and hurting, and he's very quick to respond and reach out his hand to you. So I would just say like it could be so simple, but like you can just reach out to him in a moment of faith and just be like, Jesus, help me, and just like hold me and deliver me. And I believe he will show up and he will actually change your life.
You talk about how you're working on music and your love for music. As we're living in this quarantine time and this social, physical distancing time, music is medicine. Is there something maybe special that you've had a chance to do to kind of share your talents and also bless others?
You're right. Music is medicine. And like, so I live in this big high-rise apartment complex, like I mentioned, in Whippy. And there's like, I don't know, about 1,000 units or something like that. So tons of neighbors, and they're all kind of in this big circle, and all the balconies kind of look into this courtyard. And so it was interesting timing, but I think it was a couple weeks before the quarantine, I had ordered this battery-powered speaker because I was like, oh, it'd be so great to like bring this outside and just do worship outside and use it for just different like evangelism events or whatever. So I bought this speaker. It arrived right before this. And then when the lockdown happened, I was like, well, I'm just going to go sit in my courtyard and just start playing worship music, like a couple times a week and just like share, like, you know, the hope of Jesus and just like, you know, try to release his peace over the neighborhood. And so I went down in there and I've just been doing that at least once a week. I've been going out and, leading worship from the courtyard, and it's been really, really cool. There's been like people come out and they like stand on their balconies and they're like listening, and I'm seeing like all kinds of different families coming out and standing on their balconies. Some of the families are coming out and just standing at a distance, like all over the courtyard, and just like listening to the worship music. And it's just been like a really cool opportunity, and we've seen like a ton of our neighbors give us really positive feedback. They started messaging me song requests and stuff. So like my neighbors started, like one lady was like, can you please sing Amazing Grace? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. So it's just been really, really awesome to do that. Yeah.
Last question for you. Do you still skateboard?
I do.
Okay.
I do as much as I can. I mean, like joints permitting, I still try to get out as much as possible. I used to be like a little more into it, like going after, like I had some sponsors and things like that, but now it's just for fun. And I'm getting really excited because my daughter is like, loves to watch me skateboard, and she loves to sit on the skateboard and ride around. So that's like, yeah, that's really
exciting. It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair.
Sweet.
Well, he is a skater boy, and he once did say, see you later, boys. But you could follow him on Insta at Curtis Hartshorn, my friend. We appreciate you sharing your heart and taking some time in the midst of quarantining and social distancing. We still got the phone.
Come on. Yeah, it's so good. I appreciate you guys giving me the call today. It's awesome.
Super pumped that we had a chance to talk with Curtis. Good reminder, too, that you can download on places like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud.
Yes.
And we are your quarantining podcast for 2020.
And then hopefully that's it for quarantine.
That's true.
You can also head to faithstrongtoday.com for more.